So today we're going to go over or answer a question that comes up quite a bit. What if I'm stuck in a bad policy? Or what if I purchased a policy and found out after the fact that I could have done things differently? So what we will touch on is a couple common mistakes or regrets, buyer's remorse items that people have expressed, that people run into. Then we'll go through some options. We won't have too many visuals this evening. We'll pull up a little bit via software with Master Guardian just to demonstrate one or two items. But this is going to be more so of just facts, things that I can and cannot do. It's great knowledge to be aware of that a lot of people aren't aware of, because it's fine details that are in this oh so great insurance industry. So let's get into it. So a couple common mistakes we have here. Firstly, if someone is set up with a basic whole life insurance policy, meaning I pay a dollar in or any amount of money per year and 100% of my contribution is allocated towards the base premium, the insurance expense. And this is actually the most commonly sold life insurance product. And what I mean when I say that, most people who are watching this video or on the live call right now are familiar with the infinite banking concept and how to design policies for high cash value life insurance. When you look at the industry as a whole, the majority of people who have been exposed to whole life insurance have policies that often represent a very high, and in most cases, 100% base premium allocation. And that goes back to the basics as far as when I pay a dollar into a policy, my money can go towards insurance premium or cash, and the dollars that go towards premium, first and foremost, buy me a death benefit and eventually build up cash. If I have a 100% premium account, I'm going to see a break even often somewhere between years 10 and 14, depending on the product, company, all that good stuff. A great example of what not to do is often what I'll refer to it as. But this does happen. A lot of us have likely seen this if we've had any exposure to whole life insurance. If we're in the industry, I see a lot of agents on the call. We've definitely been exposed to this, right? We're fully aware of this, and this is simply a pure premium account. I pay money in, everything goes towards premium, nothing towards PUAs or cash. If the policy is set up poorly, the design's not proper, meaning relative to what I'm paying in, I have a high premium ratio. Someone thought they were getting a policy and they were breaking even, say between years three and five, and then they look at the actual account and it's closer to years 8 through 10. All right, and that could be because I have a higher premium split relative to what I'm paying in. Now, granted, sometimes it does make sense, depending on our goals and what we're trying to accomplish, to have a higher split. So if it's a custom design plan, we obviously want to consult with our advisor or agent first. But where buyer's remorse comes up a lot of times is when one looks at an account and says, wait a minute, I'm putting all this money in. Where is my cash? And too much is going out the door toward insurance expense or premium. This we probably see more common than anything else. Right? And everyone that's watched any of our videos has heard me mention the four major mutual companies several times because of the proof that we have documented. And again, some small companies may have delivered. We just don't have proof of that yet. But what we have often run into is one had a policy that was properly designed and it was projected to do one thing, and the actual performance was nowhere near the projections, right? Projected stellar returns, but delivered subpar results, often closer to the guaranteed values. So that's where one can run into an issue as well. The policy design is the most important thing there, but it's important just to do our due diligence when we're looking at different companies. So options, we have if we find out that we were set up with a bad policy, what can I do to fix it? Timing, you're going to see, is critical depending on what option we're looking at. So the first option is very limited from a time standpoint. So it's what's called a free look period or a free look provision. This allows a policyholder literally to cancel their policy. Can be for any reason, can be because they changed their mind and wanted to use the money to go on vacation. You don't have to have a reason for canceling it. What'll happen is one will receive a full refund. Any dollars we paid in the premium, PUAs, whatever, if we paid in $50,000 and our cash value day one or day two is $40,000, if we cancel the policy within that free look period, we get the full $50,000 contribution, whatever we paid in. Now, what's important to note is that this is often available in most cases between 10 and 30 days from starting a policy. So I do have a limited time frame in which this is actually available. So that's one option if we catch something very early on. Usually, when we run into an individual that is looking to make changes, it's beyond that time period. The next option, called a policy reissue, is also very time sensitive. Depending on the insurance company and state, an impact will occur here, or this will have an impact on everything. We'll often have the first 90 days of a policy where we can make changes. For example, I can start a policy. Let's actually demonstrate this. Let's say I start a policy and I am paying in $50,000. And the advisor that I'm working with sets it up as a 50-50 split. Let's just go a five pay. This works. I'm not even going to do a reduced paid up here. So when I say 50-50 split, meaning we have a policy where $50,000 is going into the account. I'm going to do this actually. And of that, 50% or $25,000 is going towards the premium or insurance expense, and the rest is going towards cash. We know that that is not optimal, all right? So if I look at this quick sheet here, this quick illustration run, I see my annual outlay. There's a total of $250,000. My break-even point way too far down the road, year nine, and this is based off of their current dividend assumption as well. Why this is performing poorly with a 50K contribution going in is really due to this guy. My insurance expense is set at 50%. We've gone through this before, so we're not going to spend much time on this. Point being, we're talking about the policy reissue option. So if I find out within the first 90 days of a policy that, okay, this is not what I wanted, or it should have been set up differently, I can do what's called a reissue. This reissue, if I want the same death benefit or more or less, I can actually make adjustments. If I go higher, it will be subject to underwriting. Main point though is if I make an adjustment to the policy within that first 90 days, I can actually reduce my MEC limit, adjust my contribution, I can make changes without triggering a MEC. It's valuable information to have. So let's say we find out, okay, the policy was set up improperly. I wanted a 1090 split or a maximum cash accumulation policy. Yeah, I'll just do a quick design here. It's a real quick from a design standpoint. We can make some improvement here, but main point I want to illustrate is we started with option one, where we had 25,000 in premium and 25,000 in cash. We redesigned the policy. Mech limit dropped. Added term to it. Made all these changes. This is a drastically different policy. Same company, same product, same age, same health rating. But I can make this change without any consequences. Again, as long as it occurs in the first 90 days. We actually had an individual that did this years ago where he applied with one insurance company, was approved, contributed. He started out a policy of $180,000 a year. And after reviewing everything, we decided that that was not the most optimal design, not to put it all with one company. He wanted to split it up a little bit. So what we had ended up doing is it was within the first 90 days, we exercised a reissue where the new policy design, this was something 30 to 60 days within that window from starting a policy. The new policy had a total of a $100,000 per year contribution. Drastically lower mech limit, huge change relative to what we initially went with, right? But because it was within that first 90 days, it was no problem. We've also had people do it on the flip side. They start out with a $50,000 contribution. They talk to a friend of theirs, says, wait a minute, you know, I've got one with 100. They decide, okay, I want a bigger one. Is it too late to make a change? The answer is, as long as we make that change within the first 90 days of a policy, we can do that. Can restructure our mech limit, can do everything with our health rating we received. If we increase the death benefit, what will often have to happen is the underwriter will want to review it, make sure from a financial underwriting standpoint, everything checks out. So it could be a little bit of time, a couple of days before they re-review it, but it is possible. It's a way to fix a policy. Again, if we catch a mistake within the first 90 days. All right, so a couple bullet points here we just touched on. Can adjust the base premium. Can adjust the mech limit. First 90 days is critical. Let's progress on. A policy change. Now, this is a nice option to be aware of, where if we took out a policy, let's say it's 5 years old, we're well beyond that free look period in the first 90 days. We're already into it, meaning we're paying money into it. If I want to get out of it, I've got to take a hit. I don't want to lose the money I've paid in. It's difficult for some to do that, which is understandable. What this allows me to do is I can actually make changes on an existing policy. We can often reduce the policy very easily. Meaning, if I have a $1 million death benefit, and let's say that gives me a $50,000 mech limit, I'm 5 years into it. I'm contributing, say, $20,000 per year. We look at it and the policyholder says, you know what, I really overshot this, or it wasn't explained to me properly. How do I salvage what I have, or how do I make an improvement? And I don't want to lose everything I paid in. I want to keep the policy. What we can do, we're going to assume we're 5 years into it. We can reduce the policy. Now, what's important here is when we reduce the policy benefits, in particular the death benefit, is if we reduce the death benefit, DB reduction, that's also going to reduce my mech limit if I do this within the first 7 years of a policy. Very important to be aware of that. All right, so if I'm paying in 20K per year and I make that reduction, I just want to make sure that I'm not reducing the policy death benefit to a figure that's lower than the $20,000 MEC limit. No, this topic can be a bit confusing. We're actually going to demonstrate an example here. But again, we can reduce the premium slash death benefit, which will help reduce or lessen our expenses, especially if we have contributed nowhere near the MEC limit or if we were set up with a very high insurance premium. Let's demonstrate an example here. And often, if this is an old policy that was set up by a different agent, someone we're no longer working with, often what we've done in the past is we reach out to the insurance company with the client. When I say we, us, our office, our agency, the old agent, let's say they're no longer in the industry or they didn't keep in touch or the client doesn't want to work with them for whatever reason. So we'll reach out to the company or write out an email. Here's exactly what we'd like to see. So before we make any changes, what I definitely should stress, regardless what situation we're in, see the examples first, make sure it doesn't trigger a MEC, and make sure it is in your best interest because you can make improvements. We just want to make sure we're seeing it first so we don't make a decision that ends up hurting us more. All right, so here is a policy. Let's make this a little bit bigger. That is set up improperly. And this is the kind of stuff we see at times where where it's a 40-year-old male policy that is funded for 7 years at $80,000 per year. Now, what is improper about this policy is the fact that of my contribution, excuse me, here's my payments here, 80K for 7 years. What are we all always going to look at? Where is my money going? Of that 80K, why this is not a good example at all, is 50% is going towards the premium or the insurance expense. And we see this stuff. We ran into someone recently that had 160K a year going in, and he was set up with an $80,000 plus base premium. It took a long time to break even. It was with a reputable company, just set up poorly. He didn't understand it. That's why I was sold it by someone that was a local advisor. He knew the guy and it just didn't work out well. So we do see this stuff quite frequently. Higher premium relative to what I'm paying in. What do I see as a result? I'll look at my cumulative net outlay. I pay in a total of 560 by the 8th year. Between year 7 and 8, I cross over, I break even. That's not that attractive, especially in the beginning, considering I'm paying in $80,000 and I've got about 50% equity. If I beef up those cash values, that's going to enhance my short and long-term returns. In addition, it gives me more money immediately that I can use for real estate transactions, for retirement income, whatever the purpose is. The more money I have, the more I can do with it. So what we can do here, and we can do this with most companies, some companies it's easy to demonstrate with, others it is not, and you have to request it via an in-force illustration from the insurance company. So what we did here, so I'm not going to go into the details via the software tabs. Already got it pre-populated. But what you'll see is the first year, the cash value is identical. Me demonstrate here, actually. Meaning, $80,000 goes into the account. Okay? Of that 80, $40,000 went towards the premium, the insurance expense. Everything else went into cash. We'll assume this is an individual that was made aware of this after the fact, 1 year later, and says, man, this premium is way too high relative to what I'm paying in. I didn't get it back then. Now I do. Hey, I don't want to have to start all over and go through the insurance expenses again. What are my options? Well, what we did here was a policy change. And you can see the change, and we can go back to the other example. In fact, I'm probably going to drop these on Excel so we can see them side by side. In this policy change, you'll see the first year, his base premium was $40,000. Year two was $8,000. And then we exercise a reduced paid up after year seven for this example. Main point is we dropped the base premium. And again, you can do this with almost any company. We did it after the fact. Now, we do need to question our agent on this, or if we're working with someone else, because if we're an agent trying to help someone and another agent wrote this, meaning we're not on the case, it is a lot of service work where there won't be any compensation generated from a transaction like this if we were not the agent on the case. However, we are doing the right thing, and typically what happens, you do the right thing, it always comes back to you in one way or another. Back to the transaction. So we reduce the premium after the fact. Nowhere does it state a MEC occurs. What it does not highlight here, it still shows the original MEC limit where it dropped. It's just about cut in half. So the new MEC limit is just over 80K. Coincidentally, well, it's not by coincidence, I did this on purpose, we're paying in 80K. We've got now a 1090 split. Right, so I'm paying in 80,000, of which my premium is $8,000. And look at the immediate impact. Year one to two, I pay in 80, how much comes back? Just about 80, a little bit more. And more year over year. Now, that first year did take a big bite out of the performance. However, I improved my break even. It's now between year six and seven, instead of seven and eight. Can also see a difference in performance up here. Rather than have to squint and look at the screen, let's drop this on Excel real quick. So what we'll do, let's do the first one. Okay. I'll take the second one. Nice thing about this is it's also going to represent the underlying base premiums. So we're going to keep these. Get rid of a lot of the extra fluff just to simplify this. All right, here we go. Let's make it clean. This is the base premium, annual outlay, cash value, death benefit, right? Right, so now we see the difference there. Here we see the reduction. That's when we kick the base premium down. Reduced paid up after year seven. So what we can also do here, rather than try and manually calculate the values, let's just see the difference. CV difference. First year identical. We go to age 80, a little bit further. That's good enough. I mean, we see the trend already. Now, what's interesting, if you look at year two, cash value is actually a little bit higher on the base premium, the higher base example. It's about the only year. The reason for that is we do have a much higher base premium. And as a result, the dividend calculation is a bit more favorable on that base premium dollars, which gives me a boost in performance. All right, so what I can look at here right. So here's the example with the 40K premium, and I never exercised a reduction. All right, we've got content on this, webinars and short videos that I refer you to if this piece is a bit confusing. It's one of the more complex items in the industry, is when dividends are actually paid to life insurance policies, the dividend calculation, which is the surplus. This column only reflects the surplus. So here we've got an example with Guardian. Guardian's total dividend rate is 5.85. Their guarantee is 4%, meaning this column reflects the surplus, the difference between the guaranteed rate and total rate, 185. That surplus, that dividend payout, if you look at the actual formulas that insurance companies use, it is more favorable. We have a higher dividend payout on base premium dollars. And again, I'd refer you to other videos on that where we really go in depth. Main point being is while that's the case, dividends are more favorable on base premium dollars. In about every single case, especially through about a period of 50 years, even though the dividend's more favorable, getting money into PUAs, which begins to earn interest faster, almost always puts us ahead. So again, the purpose of this model here was to exercise or demonstrate the policy change. I took out a policy. I found out after the fact that I can make an adjustment. I also built in a ton of flexibility. So now I can literally commit to the $8,000 contribution and pour in the 80 at my leisure. I don't have to pay a 40K bill each year. Just depending on our situation, that may be convenient. There's my difference in cash value. Substantially more as the years pass by. So the change does help salvage the performance. As you want to keep on going down, we're getting up there in age now, so I don't think we need to go any further. Main point, a policy change is an option we have to make adjustments after the fact. Quote it first, right? Meaning we want to reach out to the company. Hey, can I see exactly what a policy change would look like if I reduced my premium to this, if I reduced my total death benefit? Or the agent you're working with can often create an email or type out the verbiage for you to ask, or they can ask the company with you. We'll typically do that with anyone we work with. Okay, a 1035 exchange option. So this is literally transferring cash value from one existing policy to another. This is a tax-free transaction. So if I have 100K in one policy, I can literally transfer that to a new account. That transfer is often treated as a large PUA contribution. I can also elect to have it pay my base premium if I don't want to pay anything out of pocket in the first year. But I'm more or less rolling over the funds from one account to another. A nice thing about a 1035 exchange is if I am designing the policy for maximum cash, I've got a 10% premium, 90% PUA ratio, and I have a 1035 exchange coming over. A lot of times you can see a break even of year two. I say break even, I should say positive return. Right now, also, what we do need to factor in, this is the biggest drawback, is when I 1035 funds into a new policy, I am taking out a new policy. What that means is at least the first year or first 2 years, what happens? I've got to go through the underlying premium expense. The company's going to overcharge me for the cost of insurance up front. That's the drawback. So it's a nice option to be aware of. If a policy was set up very poorly, or if we have a high premium we don't like, or it makes sense to do it, then it's a good option to consider. What we should do whenever we're considering a 1035 exchange or any of these transactions is compare it with what we have first and foremost. What does it have, my current account? What does it have in cash? What does it look like if I keep doing what I'm doing? And if I take out a new policy, what's the impact? How long does the new policy take? How many years before it overtakes my overall cash value in the existing one? And again, we'll always model this out in spreadsheets and such. Purpose of today's webinar is more so just facts. What are items or what are options that I can exercise if I find out after the fact that I could have done things differently? Number five, we almost never recommend, right? But it is an option, which is why I wanted to put it there. Could cancel the policy. Again, we don't need to go into it. I wouldn't recommend it because you do have other options. And no matter how badly the policy was set up, over time, these accounts go nowhere but up in value. They do get stronger and stronger. If we did cancel a policy, we just want to be aware of the cash surrender value. Why I say cash surrender value, if we were set up with some kind of universal life policy, the average is typically a 10-year period where we have surrender fees associated with it. We want to be aware of that. Okay, how much of a hit am I going to take? Or what's my total cash value? What's my cost basis? How much of a hit will I take? Did I put in 100 and I only have 70K? If I cancel it, I'm going to get that 70K back, but I lost 30K if I've paid in 100. Did I pay in 100 and I have 170K? If I cash out, if I've got a gain, usually what will happen there is that is going to be treated as ordinary income tax. And we've got other segments on that as well. You can refer to our videos as far as what happens if a policy lapses, what are my tax consequences. So supplementary information, one spreadsheet we had today. Let's open the floor to questions if anyone has questions on this topic or anything really. Feel free to use the chat box. All right. Well, if no questions, appreciate everyone taking some time out of your evening to connect. We'll see you all next week.